6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris Alliforce, joined virtually by the wonderful, the effervescent, the jovial Anna Forsyth at A4603. Welcome, Anna.
I mean, rarely jovial, but thanks for the compliments and hi. Now that you've said nice things about me, I'm going to start by making fun of you.
Say not so nice things about me?
Yeah. Did you just say podcast like I say podcast?
Do I not say podcast the way you say podcast?
No. I think you use a different A. Weird. Anyway, maybe I'm rubbing off on you after all these years.
Podcast? Podcast?
Podcast, yeah. That's how I say it.
I don't know. Anyway, you're going to make fun of me for saying podcast? Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to make fun of me for something else.
No. I mean, usually I make fun of you for being old, but as we established in our iota, I am also old and getting injuries from sleeping now. So,
if you're getting old, I really don't know what that means about me. But you know, it's good to be back. We had some hockey to watch, some Canucks games to pay attention to. Presuming you noticed the start times.
I mean, in that they were Eastern start times? Is that what
you mean? Well, Eastern I knew.
But you mean the morning hockey we got this weekend?
Maybe not so much. Yeah, I missed one of them, and I saw two-thirds of the other. So I saw the good one. Does that make?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I mean, I saw two-thirds of the first one because I had a class on the Saturday. And then I should have seen all of the third one, but I lost my keys for like 20 minutes, so I didn't get over to run the show at Annalise's place until 5-10 minutes in.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but all I missed was a Caps goal, so that's good.
Uh-huh. Oh man, yeah, no, I knew they were playing in the East, and I should, you know, generally speaking, if it's a game in the U.S. and it happens on a weekend, especially this time of year, because football is everything.
That's the reason behind it. I didn't think of that.
You know, the start times are always weird. But is what it is. So we'll obviously get into that. Before we got into Rewind, though, I needed to go and share breaking news. You saw that Tom Durant is single-handedly responsible for hating ice cream and ensuring Panarin didn't become a Vancouver Canuck, because everything that comes out of Booth's account is true.
I do. I mean, I don't even follow Booth anymore because I can't be drawn into it. But, like, it is funny if you read it. If you guys don't know the tweet we're talking about, please find it, because Booth
the translation from Moscow BuzzFeed.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good balance of comedy and believability. Like, the writing style is completely accurate. Like, that's how hockey writing sounds like. But obviously, if you've read it closely enough, you would know that's, nonsense. It doesn't help. It doesn't stop people getting.
Oh, my.
Sending Durant's hate mail.
I know. I mean, if you as a listener aren't big on Durant's, that's fine. Like, there are people who aren't big on me, and I'm perfectly okay with it. So I should be equally okay if people, you know, don't like someone. But the amount of vitriol that goes his way is crazy. And the idea that Booth could go and share something that's taken as fact at this point, because Booth is so good at their craft.
Yeah.
I want to say his, but I truly don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mr. Booth, but who knows? Like,
So they are masterful at their craft. That when I see something like that, I will admit I don't always go and see the handle, but I don't go and just take it. But then I'm like, I'm reading the replies because I'm like, oh, who got Boothed? And some of the names in there, it's like, oh man, oh man,
yeah. It is funny. I mean, I guess the only thing is that I'm sure Drance is pretty well prepared for all this, having, due to his previous job, working social at the Panthers. Like, I'm sure he got a lot of hate.
Oh, yeah.
It just wasn't specifically directed at him.
Yeah. Well, the stories I could tell about Drance and double dipping chips, let me tell you, but that's for entirely different show. In fact, I was thinking we should get Drance on a show that I'm here for so I can hold his feet to the fire over these double dipping allegations.
Yeah, he's suffered enough this week, so.
Rewind a little bit. I believe you and I had come to the conclusion the Vancouver Canucks, if they were to come home with like a 500, like 3 points, that it would be a good road trip considering the teams they were playing. And there's still a chance that they can come home with 4.
Yeah.
So things looking up and up, right?
Sure. Let's also, I hate being negative, except I don't, but looking for a 500 road trip, considering the opposition, that's like, would be really good. But considering how far back the Canucks already are, you're already compromising on the 2 out of 3 wins we need.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that streak, the Boudreaux streak, earn the Vancouver Canucks sort of the, you know, I don't know, makeup wins they needed to continue to 2 out of 3. If they were to go and win against the Predators, find a way to get out 2 points there. I mean, the Vancouver Canucks are getting, you know, 4 out of a possible 10. And I understand that that's not I should clarify, it's not a 500 road trip, but it accounts for, you know, what was needed to at least happen. Like, they need to continue to get points. So, I mean, while things didn't start so well, finding a way to beat the Capitals in Washington, and the Capitals are, as we had pointed out, a good team.
Yeah, and it's like, as far as I know, they still have Ovi playing for them. In fact, we do know that because he scored another power play goal against the Canucks. Yeah, I would say, like, pretty encouraging signs in the both Florida games. It was only Carolina. I really didn't see the Canucks like anywhere, like near the mark in that game. But
yeah, I didn't see them either. Different reason.
Yeah,
but I didn't see them.
10 a.m. is too early for hockey, and especially when you have to play a team that just got absolutely whacked at home. And yeah,
I have an excuse for Saturday. Like, it's not like I was sitting here doing something entirely different than watch hockey. I had to go renew my driver's license and my services card, and my appointment was 10:30. So that's a process, regardless of having the appointment time.
It's a whole thing.
So yeah, like I booked that as to availability, not like, ooh, am I going to have to miss the Vancouver Canucks? And then obviously when I went to sort of get home and look what time the game was on. Oh, hey, the Canucks forgot the game was on too.
Yeah. I mean, Canes are a really good team. We know that. But yeah, and they just got got shot out by the Blue Jackets. So they were kind of looking for revenge, and they put it together, and Svechnikov was really good, and Canucks like let them in a bit, which they were pretty good at keeping people out in Washington. So it happens. Like, I don't know if it's like mind-blowing, right? Like, Canes are a really good team and they found a way to win against Vancouver.
But those three losses to start the road trip obviously rocked Canucks Twitter to its core. You had Pettersson being traded. Oh, yeah. Hoglander was being sent to the A, although I think Andrew Walker was sending Petey there too. The positivity that had been in place under the Bruce Boudreaux winning streak was starting to wane. And then on Sunday, Petey found his game.
Oh, yeah, did
he? A handful of times, including... Like, oh, yeah, no, totally, I'm going to do this bank shot here. I'm totally going to do that bank shot. Hey, look, I did the bank shot, guys. Like, I mean, bank shot off, is it Samsonov's back?
Yeah, also, I've just found out that his name is Samsonov.
Samsonov, not Samsonov?
Which I've been saying Samsonov. For the last 2 years. But This is the thing, when you hardly ever play in the East and you just read people's names.
In fairness, even if they play for the Vancouver Canucks, sometimes the name changes too. Like Cody Hodgson was Cody Hodgson forever until one day he was Cody Hudson, which is apparently the way his name would be pronounced. But when you're an NHL rookie, you take whatever number and name they give you and you accept it.
Yeah. But the kind of thing we saw against Carolina and kind of transitioning into Washington was the whole special teams thing. Like, it went right in Washington, at least from a power play point of view, and it went very wrong in Carolina, like, from a power play point of view.
Well, the Washington power play, more say my phrases, the Vancouver power play in Washington, so that it's clear, the first two power play resulted in two goals on two shots.
Yeah,
I believe that is what you call efficient.
Yes, but the PK were giving up goals like almost as efficiently.
Anna, you can't have everything, okay?
I mean, yes, but they will literally cancel each other out if that happens.
Yeah, you know. But looking at the game against the Panthers, I mean, the Canucks were in tough. I mean, I don't know to describe that game any differently. The Panthers were on top of them nonstop. Yes, Vancouver was able to go and get a couple goals themselves. But at no point in time did I feel that the Panthers were not in control. In fact, it got to the point that I had already given up on the Canucks and had started to sort of pay attention to the extracurriculars as to what was going on through NHL Twitter and patrons at the game.
Patrons at the game.
Not our patrons. Patrons of the Panthers.
Yeah.
Let's just say, although, someone was twerking it like a Polaroid picture.
Uh-huh. And
you take those two together.
Game tape has been inconclusive.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know? If people haven't seen it, Daniel Wagner did a pretty funny NHL player safety spoof. So
Daniel Wagner has been on point with the video content that he's been producing. Like, he did the NHL Department of Player Safety parody. But then he actually did a video, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, but it's the barge on the beach parody.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay. Oh, it's really, really good. It's really well done.
I mean, I like to make fun of Wags all the time, but that player safety video was just so well done.
Yeah. Tampa, I actually thought that the Vancouver Canucks didn't do too poorly here. Yes, I know they lost, and yes, I know they went and spotted the Lightning a 4-goal lead.
Yes, these are things that happened.
But, like, I felt that what we saw from the Vancouver Canucks against the Lightning was better than sort of what we saw against the Panthers. I cannot explain the lowlights that I witnessed on the game against the Canes. But we saw them turn it around against the Capitals. And with Petey now having sort of broken that sort of slump he was in, were maybe getting to that point, because we see this, players who suddenly get that slump, you know, off of them, they play lighter, they play faster, they play better, and I suspect PD will be that type of player. That gives the Canucks offense that's been lacking. So I'm confident this team's coming home with a win.
Honestly, like, I can see it for sure.
Whether or not there is a, you know, goaltender on the bench to back up Demko, who is going to be playing forever now.
Yeah, I hope they pack cotton wool in the trainer's kit bags, because Demko can never get injured, because we have no other goalies. I mean, we have...
Well, isn't it like Abby's having to like sign e-bugs on TTOs at this point?
So, to play. Abby are in California right now. And, yep, they lost both their, like, other goalies. Were funny that we were talking at the beginning of the season that Abbotsford have too many goalies. How are they going to make sure DiPietro develops when you have three goalies in rotation? But Canucks went, the big Canucks went and took two of their goalies out for their taxi squad. So, yep, the baby Canucks had to start Seelovs with mixed success, but he got a win tonight as we're recording on Monday. But yeah, he was backed up by e-bugs, so.
Yep. Which, if you don't know the term, and I can't presume all of our listeners do, it's emergency backup goaltender, which is a mouthful. E-bug sounds so much better.
Yeah. Obviously, the most famous e-bug of all, David Ayres. If you don't know that story, it's going to be a Disney movie, so wait for that to come out.
So, completely off the rails, but still related to hockey, but tying in football. I was watching Monday Night Football, which is interesting because it's playoffs, and normally you don't get Monday Night Football in the playoffs. Anyhow, ESPN, ABC, whoever the heck it is that's broadcasting, because essentially Disney, they were talking about how the Cardinals, who are currently playing, have the longest streak of, like, active streak in the NFL of not winning a championship.
Okay.
And then a graphic went up on the four professional leagues. Now, which team has the longest streak without, or longest run without a championship in the NHL?
Well, it's not the Canucks, because we've only been a Canucks team since 1970. I want to say I don't know. I wanted to say the Leafs, but yes.
Yeah, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's the thing. They have the quality of being old and not successful in the last 50 or so years. So,
yeah. You know, the last time the Toronto Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup, there were only other five other teams to play.
Yeah, exactly. This is what off the rails, but Arsenal hold the record for the longest unbeaten streak in football, and that's 49 games. And they beat a record that was 42 games. But that record, the 42-game record, was completed when there were half the number of teams in the league there are now. So,
who held it?
Nottingham Forest.
I'm not putting you on the spot.
I know it's Brian Clough, but he managed Derby County most famously, then Leeds for a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it wasn't Leeds.
But I'm pretty sure it's Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest. Because he went to Nottingham Forest after Derby and Leeds, correct? Yeah.
I only know this
because I've seen The Damned United,
which is a brilliant film and a brilliant book. So, recommend.
Yeah, When I watched the movie, I knew nothing about it, and it was so believable. I thought it was fake. Like, you know, like where it's like, this can't be, like, it is so good. Like, it's too good. It's fictionalized,
but. Yeah, it's definitely like, based on a lot of fact. And if you know, like some of the quotes in there are definitely real. The Brian Clough quotes, he was definitely a larger-than-life personality. Anyway.
I might not be the best manager in football, but I'm definitely in the top one.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've used a variation of that to describe my abilities at work.
I think I did it in something for a high school yearbook equivalent or something like that.
Back onto the Vancouver Canucks, though, is that one, no, they're not the longest run of lack of success with the championship, because, again, they're too young. I don't know if this will be the season they win the Stanley Cup, but looking at sort of their odds right now, based on the run of play, and I know we're starting to see things slow down a little bit, the Canucks have a really good look at a wild card spot. And yeah. Looking at the standings, despite, you know, one win in the last four, the Canucks are only a point behind the Oilers right now. And yes, the Oilers have games in hand. But the thing about the Oilers, they've not been playing so well as of late. And now, yes, there's more teams the Vancouver Canucks need to catch up on. But these are teams that also are either one, already ahead of the Canucks in games played. So the Canucks are the team with the guns in hand, or they're, you know, not doing so hot. So it's possible.
Yeah. I think the issues we're looking at is the fact that Calgary and Winnipeg played four games fewer than the Canucks. So that's the kind of small issue I see. But
well, Calgary's on the run of four losses. Yes, Winnipeg finally won one. Edmonton's on a run of three losses. Like, these are, like, you're looking at teams that are having a rough spell right now, and the Canucks were kind of there. I get that, but they had given themselves such a boost.
Yeah.
That if they can turn it around, get that win against the Predators, and then whenever the heck it is they play a hockey game ever again.
That's the thing. Imagine where we'd be if they had, I'm not saying they're going to, the confidence they would have had from, like, maybe beating New York and almost definitely beating Ottawa in their barn. But, like, just the fact that they didn't play for 10 days, it really did not set them up for success. So, considering that, they've played some pretty good hockey on this road trip. Especially, like, all-star in waiting, Tyler Mott. Like, where's his all-star place?
Okay, that goal from Tyler Mott between his legs...
Yeah.
When I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, Anna just fell out of her seat.
I mean, yeah, that's that Bruce Boudreau confidence boost. He loves him some fourth line.
Yeah. And the fourth line's playing with confidence. Like, yeah, I'm going to try this in a game.
Yeah. We're going to see the Nils Höglander Michigan goal this season. I guarantee it.
Oh man. So when I saw that, I had commented to a friend, I'm like, oh, if this was the Tortorella era, Mott just found his way to, like, the ECHL.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even have an ECHL team, but Torts would have found a spot for him.
Yeah, it's like, for a player to do that and a player on the fourth line to do that, Torts. I mean, was it a month ago or whatever? Torts was going on about how he hates the speed in the game or, like, the...
Oh, yeah, and he hated
the entertainment.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good for the game.
Have I completely forgotten that Anaheim player? Oh. Not Troy Terry. Trevor Zegras, like, his amazing goal. Torts hated that, obviously.
I don't like it. It's not good for the game. But fans are engaged, like, not just fans of the TED team, fans in the league.
And not just hockey fans.
It's not good for the game.
Like, people outside of hockey were like, oh, you can do that in hockey? That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's so much about hockey that could be... So easily, like, I'm not talking about big steps, just those small, tiny steps that could just move the game, just to nudge it in the right direction.
And do you have any suggestions?
Well, it might be a nudge, but really it's like lifting the anchor that's currently buried in concrete, stuck in a black hole. But I've sort of come to the belief that the NHL needs to embrace the modern era and actually report on injuries more than it's a body injury.
Yeah.
Like, I look at the professional leagues, right, in North America, and I can't think of one that is so secretive or anywhere near being as secretive as the NHL. Like, there isn't. In Major League Baseball, if a player has a hangnail and they miss a game, you know which finger. In fact, there might be a picture of said hangnail.
Yeah. Right? Or if it's the NFL, they'll just get out the fingers or the feet and show you.
Yeah. Well, and the transparency was not always there in these leagues. I would argue that much of the transparency happened because sports betting and the sports books are the motivating factors. But one of the things I feel that having this type of transparency in the league would allow for is more trust that the league has got the player's health as their best interest. The league tries to say they do. You and I are, I think, rightfully skeptical about this. And simply saying, here's what the injury happens to be, does not suddenly make me trust them. But it's a whole lot easier for someone like me on the outside looking in to say, hey, here's what's happened and here's what's going on. And I kind of feel, as far as game changers are concerned, the NHL needs to come to its senses and be transparent on injury reports.
Chris, I'm 100% with you. I am, picking up what you're putting down, because I think you're right. Other sports do it better. I would say before COVID, the Premier League was quite good at being transparent. Maybe not completely 100% hits a hangnail transparent, but pretty good. But
there's different realms, but they're much more transparent when compared to the NHL, who's outright opaque.
I actually did have to laugh the other day when I was watching a cricket video and there was a reporter getting annoyed at the lack of transparency from Cricket Australia and England Wales Cricket Board, about not reporting that players were out of a series and not reporting. They were saying a player was injured, but not reporting how serious it was. And I was just you need to come check out the NHL, where a concussion is an upper body injury.
That's if you get an upper now. It's gotten to the point now, it's a body injury.
Yeah, as opposed to an outer body injury?
Like
a spiritual injury?
It's so weird. I'm watching NFL football, and a player gets injured, and they receive treatment or whatever. They go into the I don't know what the term is, but it's essentially a tent. Shaped like a box. But what it is to provide them privacy and to allow for the team to control the narrative as to the type of injury.
Sure.
Now, if the player returns to play, you don't necessarily know what the problem was, but doctors, of which I believe the league is involved, have made it apparent that this player is safe to play. I have no issue with that. But when the player leaves or the player goes to the dressing room, the moment they go to the dressing room, you get a report as to what the general injury happens to be, like leg, and doubtful, or may return, or won't return. And the moment it's won't return, they're not returning for this problem.
Yeah.
To me, the NFL has got, I feel, the sweet spot there. We don't need Major League Baseball level. And I kind of feel like you're already doing it for COVID. We know if a player leaves the bench during a game and gets put into COVID protocol. And then we all collectively say, why the heck was the player allowed to play when the tests weren't back yet?
Yeah.
That put him into protocol.
I have to say, that idea of a tent on the side of the pitch is really tickling me. Well, it's a field hospital.
Essentially, that's what it is. But you think of the size of the football. Yeah, but the size of the football stadium, the mobility of taking players there. There is an image issue that when you get on the cart and you get taken off, it's not good. And so,
I see. It's just a little funny to me.
You're right. It's a field hospital. And if it's serious, then off they go to the dressing room and the treatment rooms. Some of the buildings have full-on urgent care centers in them, essentially.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me, especially with the kind of stuff that happens in football.
We'll take ourselves a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network.
He liked to say the F word.
Who wouldn't get the F here then? Yeah. Okay, see ya.
Right off. is going to have the F word on it.
I wish I could give you a explanation about it. I can't.
You out of hand.
You said the F word, Dad.
You called me the F word.
Oh, Anna, you stirred the hornet's nest about the All-Star game, huh?
Yeah, making friends, making enemies, taking names. Am I going off? Am I just going to go?
Well, why don't you catch our listeners up on the issue here?
Okay. So I wasn't going to talk about the All-Star game this week because, you know, I included it in my game changer as kind of like a light aside, I thought, last week. But this past week, it's been a topic of conversation among hockey media about what the All-Star game means. Mainly because the initial All-Star rosters were released. Thatcher Demko made it from the Vancouver Canucks. Worthy addition. But, you know, you could argue for some other players. Quinn Hughes, JT Miller. JT Miller's trying to get on the roster as the last man in. But the conversation was about who didn't make it, right? And one specific example was Nazem Kadri playing for the Avs. Nathan MacKinnon was asked about it. And I mean, I didn't take too much from his comments that, you know, he should be getting in. Like, you see some players that aren't having great seasons, they still get in. Why isn't Kadri getting in? And a lot of people that I often have similar opinions of hockey seem to agree with Nathan MacKinnon. I would not. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I got into a few spats on Twitter about it, but...
A few, huh?
Just a couple. But my essential opinion is the All-Star Games isn't anything serious. It's for the fans. And if you're excluding fans out of that by saying a team doesn't get a center player, especially a new team like Seattle, who, yes, let's face it, haven't been great, but also had some pretty bad luck in terms of injuries and COVID, but they don't get to send a player because, like, they're not judged as good enough. Like, if we're using those metrics, it would basically be the Colorado Avalanche and the Carolina Hurricanes, and maybe the Florida teams get to send some players. Like, I got a lot of flack that it was, you know, a participation medal if you're giving every team a chance to send a player. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. The All-Star game doesn't matter in terms of the hockey season. And I also don't think it matters to a lot of the media who are suddenly up in arms about it. And only because the NHL isn't going to the Olympics that they suddenly care about it. I've always cared about it, but in a way that I think it's fun weekend. It's for the fans. It's for fans of every team to enjoy. It shouldn't just be the best players because, one, there's always going to be disagreement about who that is, who's going to determine the best players. And two, we're just going to see, like, the same teams getting players. And then, essentially, like, as I suggested, like, you can see the Colorado team, like, the best players all playing together. It'll be the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs. Like, we don't need that for the All-Star game. We just need goofy fun for all the fans everywhere. Okay. That's my piece.
Yeah, I mean, I was witnessing some of the conversation where Anna was like going like, F you very, very much, right? Like something like that. But no, I think I've made it very clear. Like the All-Star game doesn't matter to me, right? Like, but that's me. Yeah. Right? I don't have skin in this game where I feel it should be this way or that way. When I look at it as a mechanism to engage fans and, you know, kids, sponsored activations, things like that, I really enjoy sort of, as you'd sort of aptly titled, some of the goofy stuff. I think you need entertainment. That's what it needs to be. Now, where it starts to become gray is I can see how there's different sort of lenses to look at entertainment, but going to the base of this being a fun event, I think it's important you have representation from every team. In the current format, if the NHL were to look at the All-Star game differently, then I could be persuaded to have some of the best players play. But this, you know, I don't know is possible. Way back when, the NHL All-Star game was a Stanley Cup champion versus the best team, best players sort of combined.
That sounds kind of fun. Well, but you would rewrite, like, almost you can't just rewrite the rules of the All-Star game. You'd have to rewrite hockey culture so that the best players want to participate. I mean, Sidney Crosby doesn't want to go. Ovi doesn't want to go. They kind of served their time with it. I get it, but like...
Well, that's the thing. Like, you're right, rewrite. But like, changing it where if it was like the Stanley Cup team versus the best, you can't have, like, if it's the best, just look at the number of spots on the roster. You're not going to have representation from every team. There's logistical issues there as to, well, how is it the current team, not the team that actually won the Stanley Cup? Because players will have moved. I was not around when they did that last. But another opportunity is like having an all-star team play a better team from elsewhere. But that doesn't really exist in the current sense. Like Major League Soccer, their all-star team is not going to have representation from every team in the league. Why? Because there's only so many spots on the pitch and on the actual lineup. But who is it that team's playing? They're playing a top-tier team out of Europe.
Right.
You have to, if you want to use this as a, here's our league and the quality that we can present, you got to have your best on the pitch. That's not what the NHL is doing here. To your point, I'm of the opinion every team gets representation. And it's more than just like, oh, well, they can, because there's an argument saying, oh, they do it in the skills competition. I think it needs to be broader in skills. Like, I actually think there needs to be more players involved.
Yeah.
But then I also feel it needs to be optional. Like, a player should not be forced to go to the NHL All-Star game.
And that's the thing. Like, you're going to get, I hope, like, a player from Seattle, Jordan Eberle, I believe, is their representative, who's really eager to go and sort of represent his new team. Versus, like, imagine if he just forced, like, Ovi to come. How terrible would that be? And, like, all these older players who just don't care anymore. Like, I get it from the point of view of you want it to matter, but I don't know how you make that happen. I think you need to completely change the schedule. You need to get rid of the pandemic because that's already putting pressure on players. Like, there's just so much getting in the way of it being taken seriously. Is anything more than a fun thing? The
thing to consider is, let's say you did have the Colorado Avalanche there representing the West, because, you know, a third of the team got picked.
Yeah.
Are they truly actually going to play at the level that they've been playing at in the All-Star game?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so.
Exactly. Someone else kind of, I didn't actually bring that up in the argument, but someone else did on, like, brought that into the Twitter discussion, that they're like, even if it is the best players, what does it matter really? Like, maybe they might do something cool in the skills competition, but yeah, they're not going to be playing their hardest.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that no one would care if the Olympics were happening.
I saw someone, not in this conversation, but they had said, why not make the NHL All-Star game more like a tournament where the players themselves sort of choose their own teams?
Like
street hockey rules. Well, kind of like the draft, yes, but there'd be captains or what have you, or you don't even have to have that. You could have just the players themselves, like, enter teams into this tournament. And, you know, sort of like street hockey rules or whatever. We've sort of seen variations of the modern All-Star where the divisional play and they're sort of a tournament and they play to a winner. But this is to make it sort of a much more broader experience. And I kind of liked that. It's different.
Yeah. Would you see that as taking up the 2 days and no
possibly
skills competition or skills competition on?
Well, no, I think you could have the skills competition. I think you like do the skills on like a Friday night, all-star weekend, give the players a day off on the Monday.
Yeah.
Like they, you know, like you're playing for something. And how will the players put their teams together? Yeah, I think in that case, you might have like, you know, 5 players from the Avs go in, but then they, you know, bring in, like, there's the relationships that exist and all that. Like, I think it would be different. It would be unique. I think it would be something new.
I definitely like the idea better because, as I say, it's really hard as a fan to get any affinity going for the division you play in.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think we probably fixed it, and we're correct, and
awesome.
Everyone else is wrong. So,
well, I mean, everyone is not wrong. It's just some are more right.
Yeah.
Us. Well, as we look to, you know, wrap things up, it's a topic that we've not addressed on the last couple of shows, and for that, I apologize, but I feel it's important that we bring it up. You've reminded me now a few times, so you know, credit to you for ensuring it's front and center. But there was a situation in Prince Edward Island where I'm going to summarize this and not do it justice, but there was a racist incident that took place. The league determined that a suspension. Of like with I think 3 games was worthy.
I think it was 2 even.
Or 2. Like there it wasn't penalized during the game. And then when a player on the team whose teammate was the recipient of the racist tirade stood up for him, like, hey, this needs to be dealt with. Like, this ain't right. Mm-hmm. The league decided that in their wisdom that he violated their social media policy and therefore should be suspended indefinitely. Because going onto Twitter, standing up for a teammate, calling out hockey culture and racism is far more egregious than the racist act itself.
Yeah. It was definitely a disappointing time. We should say that the suspension has now been rescinded after
PEI Hockey came out and said, oh, we've seen the error in our ways. Uh-huh. I don't think you have, but okay.
But yeah, I'm also of the opinion that however people do the right thing, for whatever reason, that it does indicate progress. Because some people will never change their opinions, but they might be shamed into doing the right thing, and that's still progress. I think it's just good example, but like an example that hockey culture, just right from the grassroots of the game, I feel like that's a weird expression to use in hockey, but like from junior B hockey and PEI to the NHL, there is a problem, and it's such a white dominant sport that, yeah, there is a racism problem, and it's about stamping those instances out, not sort of allowing space for them to grow or condoning them.
Well, especially in the younger iteration of the game.
Yeah, that's our hope for the future. That's
right. Like if it roots itself there, it grows and ultimately corrupts as they get older and becomes commonplace. Like watching the conversation take place over this issue, I actually unfollowed a couple troglodytes that I used to think were, I'm not going to say progressive voices.
Right. But
we're
in the way of progress.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, oh, it happened on the ice.
That's like kind of the thing. I believe Brock McGillis said this when he was on our show, and lots of people have said this. This is like a big sentiment, and you can play in Patrick Burke's kind of spiel that he sort of gives to hockey players, is like often it's not a problem of attitude, It's that they don't see, like, the use of slurs, whether it's homophobic or racist slurs, as a problem, because they say, oh, well, I'm not a homophobe, I'm not a racist. And it's like, yeah, but if you use those words, they're going to be perceived by the victim. Like, mm-hmm. Of course they're going to be perceived as that. And it's still a problem as long as those words are being used. It doesn't matter what attitude you hold inside your head.
The thing about the words, and this is, like, I'm willing to admit, growing up, if I was angry enough and I wanted to use words, I was probably using misogynist language or homophobic language. I mean, I admit to it. I can't go back and change that. But I have now learned that by saying I'm not this, but intending for those words to land the way I said them, how is that different?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know in the past I've definitely, when I was a teenager and even probably young adult, using the R word as an insult, and you just, you know, say, oh, but it's not like meant as, it's just to insult. The person is just meant as a personal thing. It's not meant as an insult to, like, mentally or physically handicapped people. Like, what does it matter? It's how it's, like, you're putting those words out there. You're putting the hate out there in a way. Like,
It's putting the hate out there. But, like, even then, like, the reason you're using it for effect is the effect that you intend for it to have.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot choose, you know, who is collaterally impacted by the language, but you can't also deny that that is happening because you are using that language.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, the intent is to demean, right? And so you're associating that word with something negative, whether it's calling someone the F word, and then it's like, okay, so what you're saying is, what, you don't mean anything homophobic, you mean that this person you're talking to is weak. So how does that not translate to mean that you're associating gay people with weakness? And the same thing with a racist comment. And I will say, like, one positive thing is the attitude of this young man at the center of it, who found something was not right and he spoke up about it.
Yeah. And I hope he is recognized for that beyond the moment. Like, we need more role models like him. Like, and I'm going to use Brock as an example. Yeah. We need more people like Brock to be the person that some of the youth can look to and look to engage, because again, that's what's going to affect change. We need more of that. My worry here is this particular event was in a news cycle, was a news story, and there'll be some celebration of how change was affected.
Right.
Until the next time.
Right. And that's the thing, like, hockey is still a very backward sport in terms of stuff like this. I mean, we've talked about Luke Prokop before, but, like, he's going to be an NHL player before long. Are NHL locker rooms ready for that? Have they created a world that's respectful? I would say they're still a ways away. So I think they need to be setting the example that trickles down through, you know, into these junior locker rooms.
The thing about Luke Prokop is that when he does play, I'm already of the opinion there are going to be players that will try to find their quote-unquote competitive advantage and somehow excuse themselves of the behavior. That's how poor I think of.
Yeah. I mean, culture. We've seen it before. Like, people use anything to get an advantage, whether it's insulting the player's partner or anything like that, and it's just not okay.
Yeah. Oh man, there are times that I don't want to say don't know why I bother because that comes out wrong. It's just the NHL brings me down. And it's like, why do I pay attention to it?
I mean, you're absolutely correct.
And I'm using NHL here. I shouldn't use hockey culture because it's not just the NHL.
Very clearly, yeah. I will say I read something. I tweeted about it this last night, so Sunday night, if you want to find my tweet about it. But I read a really great little blog post about like having that complex fan relationship with hockey where it brings you joy and lets you down at the same time. So I believe Gabby is the name of the writer. I don't think she uses her last name. So yeah, just find it on my timeline. And it's very short. I'd suggest giving it a read because it really put into words something that I struggle to articulate with. I don't want to stop watching hockey because I love it, but it does make it hard to engage with it fully sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we can find it, I'll ensure that it is in our show notes, a link to it.
Thanks.
But wrapping things up, we are at the end of a show. The Vancouver Canucks have a game in Nashville, and then we don't know what, because we don't know what the plan is for capacity in Vancouver. We will obviously learn that, I believe, tomorrow when this episode goes live. The Vancouver Canucks technically should be playing the Florida Panthers and the St. Louis Blues at home before our next episode, but we'll obviously talk about whether or not that happened next week. And I'm not optimistic because we've already seen the Canucks in NHL use the protecting the gate. So,
yeah, I just wonder what the breaking point is of we have too many games to reschedule.
Who knows? But yeah, we will be back next week to talk about it. Got some irons in the fire for guests. I had hoped to have one lined up for next week, but have yet to hear back.
We'll see.
It's someone that I may have slandered earlier in the episode.
Well, you will hear from us next week whether we have that guest, whether there is more than one Canucks game to talk about. All these things remain to be seen.
But if you have some thoughts on anything we've shared, obviously the best place to share it is in real time in C4 Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. But another way to express yourself and be part of an upcoming episode is to drop us a message, text message or voice message, on the C4 text line at phone number 604-200-6201. That's 604-200-6201. If you drop a voice message, we will play it. You get to hear your own voice. If you drop a text message, I will read it. Sign it so we know who it's from, because we do not know all your phone numbers. And last but not least, if you happen to love our show and want to support us, you can do so by going to patreon.com/C4podcast. Doing so gets you access to all sorts of stuff, including our pre-episode show called Instead of the Anthems. We had a public Instead of the Anthems an episode ago. You can find it on our YouTube channel. I would tell you it's youtube.com/C4podcast, but it's not. We do not have the 100 subscribers we need to get that. So the easiest way to get there is to go to bit.ly/100 for C4, all caps. That's 100, capital F, capital O, capital R, capital C, number 4. And that will take you to our YouTube page. So, Anna, what final words of wisdom do you have for all of our listeners this week?
Yeah, subscribe to our YouTube so we can get a snappier title, for one. For two, like, you know, it's exhausting following hockey, and I mean that from a perspective of getting up at 10 a.m. when your team play out in the East, or, you know, engaging with some of these stories that we talked about. So, you know, if you need to give yourself a break, that's fine too. Just keep listening to C4. We'll keep you up to date with everything else. So, you know, if you need to take a break from Canucks Twitter or actually watching the Canucks, that's fine. But stay tuned to us.
Final words of wisdom from me. Subscribe to my YouTube channel too. I've relaunched it. I recorded myself. I'm trying to channel my inner Canuck Clay.
Always dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at very least, I stole the idea of recording your segment in the car And honest to goodness, I think Clay's been sitting on a gold mine. The quality of the product that came out of my car was far superior than half the stuff I tried to put together here. So,
well,
let me tell you,
not to poop on Canuck Clay. I mean, I'm a fan of doing that, but I don't think he invented recording in your car. I think comedians in cars.
He's the first person I saw that did it.
Existed before that, for example.
Nope. Or don't believe it.
The James Corden one is called. That's really annoying.
Carpool Karaoke.
Thank you. Yeah.
The other thing about my YouTube channel is you can go to youtube.com/lightforce. There's no crazy bit.ly link to make that happen because I have more subscribers than C4, and that is a travesty in itself. So subscribe to me and C4 and help C4 get up to the 100 mark so we can get our own short URL. The other thing I wanted to point out, which are probably wiser words than the subscribe to Chris's YouTube channel, there is no reason why you or I or anyone else can determine who gets to be a Vancouver Canucks fan. It is perfectly fine not to like how people may conduct themselves when it comes to or the Canucks, and you may not like their theories about the team that you support, but their theories do not make them any less of a fan than you. Remember that we are all Vancouver Canucks.
I think I had that somewhere.
Maybe. But on behalf of Anna, A4603, myself, Chris, at Lightforce, you can find us on Twitter at the C4 Podcast and C4Podcast.com. We're part of the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com, and we are out.